Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hey moms, dads, teachers, and coaches. Visit PNCAchieversBaltimore.com and nominate a local high school lacrosse player who demonstrates excellent leadership qualities in the classroom, community, and on the field. Every Tuesday from March 3rd to May 19th, we will be highlighting a PNC Achiever on air and online.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The dust has settled on the NFL draft, and even with some movement in the later rounds, the Ravens still ended up making 11 total selections over the weekend. Maybe the biggest surprise was something they didn't do, and that was address the center position. Eric DaCosta admits that his preferred targets were flying off the board earlier than anticipated, but why did they go without any notable additions in that area?
You know, there were some other centers, but good players, but there's nobody that's going to necessarily be an impact player for us this year. I do think we'll have a plan, feel confident in saying that. I think we have a couple guys here that will compete. As the Hall of Fame general manager once said, you don't play games till September.
As it stands right now, Corey Bullock and former Colts depth piece Danny Pinter are the top options on the roster at the center position. The team also scooped up former Penn State starter Nick Dawkins as an undrafted free agent. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, mostly sunny with highs approaching 70. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
The Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Valor Roofing. Trust your home to Valor.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. No real musical themes. We just go with Nolan's flow, and he's feeling some Zeppelin. Which is never a bad thing. Bob Hedy, Vinny Serrato, quick draw, other side of the glass. We'll talk to him later on in the hour. Orioles are off today after dropping two in a row, to the Red Sox after an explosion on Friday night that literally knocked out the fireworks. They didn't have any left. And they had plenty left after Saturday and Sunday because the Orioles didn't provide any. But we're not here to totally dismantle the birds, or are we? From the Baltimore Sun. It's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program Jacob Calvin Meyer. Jacob, first of all, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Hey, fellas, how are you? If you hear Miss Rachel on in the background, that's because my daughter is, that's how I'm occupying her at the moment so that she doesn't start, you know, going crazy during this phone call.
Well, let's get going crazy talking about the Orioles then. And you wrote about this morning in the Sun about Trevor Rogers. He's been struggling here a little bit. Didn't make it out of the second inning in a matchup of lefties against Crochet on Saturday. And you pointed out some interesting tidbits comparing his starts this year compared to last year when he was brilliant when he came back up from the minor league. So for people that may not have read it, and I don't know why you didn't, people, but explain why Trevor Rogers right now is on the struggle bus, and is there some concerns that he might stay on it?
Yeah, listen, it has not looked good for him the past three starts. If you had to drill down what the biggest issue for him is, it would be his execution in two strike counts. I think I went and looked at it last night. In two strikeouts, opposing hitters are hitting about 320 with a 750 OPS off Trevor Rogers. Now, that might not seem terrible, except for the fact that the league average hitter in a two-strike count hits about 140 with a 520 OPS. So that means Trevor Rogers has been approximately 108% worse than the league average pitcher in Major League Baseball with two strikes. You're not going to have success when you are executing that poorly with two strikes. Now, that's the bad news. The good news, I think, is when we saw Trevor Rogers be really bad in 2024, it was because his velocity was down. His velo is fine this year. His stuff is fine. I think this is more of a small mental thing with two strikes that he needs to change and just a little bit of execution. It is early in the season. He's pitched that half of his starts have come when it's been like 45 degrees outside. So I think some of these things will be fine. The other thing that's important to note with Rogers, and everybody expected him to regress coming into this season because, of course, he wasn't going to put up a 1.81 ERA again this year like he did last year. I think last year the average batting average on balls in play against him, called BABIP, was like 220. That's like 80 points less than what the league average is. That's a very like sabermetric type number, which basically suggests that he was getting a little bit lucky last year. This year, that's up to like 340, which means he's getting a little bit unlucky. I would expect that this would sort of, we are going to come back to center a little bit here. If his velo were down, I'd be a lot more concerned about Trevor Rogers. But my guess is that he and Drew French and the rest of the guys in the pitching team are going to be able to figure out how to get him to be more effective with two strikes.
Now, staying in the rotation, guy pitched yesterday, Kyle Bradish. I mean, no health concerns for him, even though his velo did dip later in the ballgame with the sinker, when it went from 95 to 92. But the walks, where the hell's the command gone for him and a lot of Oriole pitchers right now, Jacob?
Yeah, the funny thing with Bradish is I think he's been quite bad this year, and he has a 4.20 ERA, right? So if this is as bad as it gets for Kyle Bradish, it could be a really good season for him. But unlike Rogers, in my view, there are some more concerning aspects to Bradish. The walks are very strange. He had never had walk issues in the big leagues. It's always been, you know, around a 2.5 to 3 walks per 9 guy. Now it's above 5. Not as many hitters as he has. I think Brad will be open. I also think the fact that his ERA is still a 4.2, despite he has a whip that's around 1.8. And he's walking as many batters as he is, suggests that it's still in there, that he's able to really bear down when he needs to, except we have seen a couple of blow-up innings for him, you know, including yesterday when he gave up 3 runs in that 5th inning. And so for him, the key is he obviously needs to go down the walks a little bit and find a way similar to Rogers. Batters aren't hitting that great against Bradish with 2 strikes. But he hasn't been able to put people away with 2 strikes the way he has in the past, which is what's leading to some of the walks, I think.
Jacob Cavanmeyer, Baltimore Sun, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. The offense, and Friday was great. Badley had a monster game. So did pretty much everyone swinging a stick for the Birds. But the next 2 days, Jacob, only 4 runs combined. In that clubhouse, is there a frustration level going with the players, the position players, because they can't seem to find any consistent run production here?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the answer was definitely no on Saturday. And then Sunday it felt just a tad different when we walked into the clubhouse postgame. I think they all recognized, maybe for the first time this season, man, that we needed to win that game. Like, how do we not win that game after what happened with Boston on Saturday night and Sunday morning? Basically no coaches in the dugout. They fired their manager. Players pregame are talking about, speaking out against the front office. And then they go out and lose a game where, you know, the Orioles played poorly in virtually every facet of the game on Sunday. And so I think most of the guys in there, both with their themselves and with the team, look around and go, hey, things are okay. If Gunnar Henderson is striking out too much, but I don't think he's panicking. I don't think anybody should be panicking about Gunnar. you know, Pete obviously is not hitting the way that anybody expected him to. But I don't think there's a ton of panic around him. But at the same time, the inconsistency has been a concern. And that is one of the similarities between the team this year and the team last year. The team last year, at the beginning of the year, again, in April, they weren't all that bad. I think they were only a couple games below 500 once they got into May. The real thing that they just couldn't win consecutive games. They couldn't get on any sort of winning streak. And if I'm counting correctly, I think it's been about 2 weeks since the Orioles won back-to-back games. So at some point here, they need to go on a little bit of a run, and that might shake some things loose and get guys to stop pressing.
Jacob, I thought yesterday, defensively, I thought that really sucked yesterday. I mean, Ward in left field, he looked lost in space out there. Beavers, he doesn't know how to take an angle in center field. Gunner had a couple plays, you know, that he couldn't have turned a double play on, and then they save, you know, they don't get the two-run homer after. Basayo throws the ball into center field. Jackson at second base misses a play. I mean, just offensively, it was not good.
Yeah, frankly, it's not just yesterday. This has been basically a theme all season. This is one of the worst defensive baseball teams in baseball. And if you look at the defensive metrics, I believe they're one of five or six teams that rank that are in the negatives in both main defensive metrics, which is defensive runs saved and outs above average. And those things match up with the eye test, right? So there's really three ways to evaluate defense on our side of things. In the public, it's one, you know, defensive run saved, and second is outs above average, which is very range based, and then the third is our eye test, and all three say that this is a pretty bad defensive team, and in fact it might just continue to get worse unless they start prioritizing their defense. So far this season, they have not been doing that. Colton Cowser has been awful at the plate, but he is their only above average defensive outfielder, and he has been resigned to basically a bench role at this point. You know, Taylor Ward, that was a tough play and left just because the wind and the wall. But that's a ball that Austin Hayes catches in 2023. It's a ball that Colton Cowser catches in 24, 25, 26. And then Dylan Beavers has graded out so far this year as one of the worst defensive outfielders in baseball. And I think a big reason for that is last year he was fine defensively because he was playing right field consistently, and that's a position specifically at Camden Yards that I think he can be successful in. This year, they're putting him in positions where he really can't be successful. They're putting him in left field at PNC Park, which is one of the toughest places to play left field, and they're putting him in center field at Camden Yards, and he's frankly not a center fielder. You add on top of that, you know, Jeremiah Jackson was good at second base the first month of the season or so. It hasn't looked as good recently. Cubby Mayo was solid defensively at third base to start the season. It also hasn't been as great recently, and so I don't really know what the solution is here other than the guys that they're paying big money need to hit so that you know, Craig Albernaz can start prioritizing his defense in other places of the lineup.
Jacob Kalbemeyer covers the Orioles in Major League Baseball for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, we appreciate your time. Enjoy your day off. Orioles and Astros start a three-game set starting tomorrow night, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Have a great Monday, Jacob. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jacob.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Jacob Kalbemeyer. That eye test makes me want to close my eyes sometimes watching that thing. The wind.
Yeah, but then they showed a flag. It wasn't windy at that time.
There was a burst of air that came out of nowhere. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around Stanley Cup and NBA playoffs in the first round. Some interesting things happening there. A couple of cool things happening in this day in Orioles history. Today's April the 27th. And then Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner. Talk about the Ravens draft with him. And we'll talk about it with you, too, at 410-583-1057.
Got a hot take? The Plaza Ford text line. 410-583-1057.
Hey, everybody, it's Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at giant food stores, and you can too. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus first purchase. You know what's wild? A family of four spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought, there's got to be a smarter way to do this, and I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now. Use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any Giant food store. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out anytime to your bank account or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. What are you waiting for? Download the free Upside app now using my limited time promo code CHARM15 for a $10 bonus on your first purchase at any Giant food store. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones made it clear at the league meeting Tuesday that the team has long-term plans for receiver George Pickens in Dallas. Pickens received their franchise tag this offseason. Broncos head coach Sean Payton also revealed that quarterback Bo Nix is expected to be cleared for OTAs in June following his ankle injury during the playoffs. Elsewhere, Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson has scheduled pre-draft visits with the Cardinals, Browns, and Dolphins, according to NFL Network insiders Ian Rappaport and Mike Garafolo. Simpson also had a private workout with the Jets. And Miami quarterback Carson Beck is scheduled to visit with the Cardinals, Dolphins, and Steelers, also according to Rappaport and Garafolo. Beck also had a meeting and dinner with the Jets last week. Plus, the Seahawks will be featured on this year's season of Hard Knocks on HBO. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thinking about starting weight loss treatment? GoodRx is here to help. We offer FDA-approved GLP-1 medications prescribed by licensed providers, including the Wegovy tablet, with straightforward pricing and pickup at your local pharmacy or delivery to your door. All from America's number one prescription app. Go to GoodRx.com/weightloss to get started. GoodRx is not insurance. Cancel anytime. Number one prescription app ranked by a third-party study.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport. Every game. Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
NFL draft is over. We have more profiles coming your way. Not just today, for the rest of the week. Going to get to meet the new Ravens 11 drafted. Plus more added through the undrafted free agency signing, UConn quarterback Fagnano and Diego Pavia, the Heisman runner-up from Vanderbilt. They're coming into the nest, and they'll participate in you know, the rookie mini-camp and the mini-camps and all that fun stuff moving forward here. So stick around for more of that intel coming your way. NBA playoffs last night, yesterday, it was Toronto, 93-89 over Cleveland. Scottie Barnes, 23 points, 9 boards, 6 assists. That series is now tied at 2 games apiece. Donovan Mitchell, man, there's something about him in the playoffs that just doesn't resonate. Going back to Utah, now with the Cavs. They were the team that's favored to win the series. They got off to a fast start. Now the pressure's back in their court as Toronto trying to pull the stunner without Emmanuel quickly for the series. Might be done for the playoffs. Ant-Man looks like he's definitely done Minnesota.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Moving forward, even if they get through Denver, they're up 3-1, and they'll play tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit later on here. San Antonio with Wemby back. They came from 17 down at halftime to beat Portland, 114-93. Wembanyama had 27 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, 7 blocks, 4 steals. That's called stat filling, ladies and gentlemen. And he did that in a big, big way as San Antonio, the Spurs, now up 3-1. It was the Celtics blowing out Philly as Joel Embiid made his return, coming back from appendicitis. You ever had your appendix taken out?
No.
Nah, me either.
Nope.
But he had it. Nolan, you still have yours?
Still kicking over here.
Isn't it a useless appendage?
That's what they say.
Yeah. Kind of like the hamate bone.
Yeah. Yeah, but if your thing ruptures, you can die. Yeah, it doesn't really do anything. It kill you. But anyway, he's back. Doesn't really matter. He actually had a good start, then kind of faded. Jason Tatum is back. That's all that matters. He had 30.7 boards, 11 assist, 128-96, as Peyton Pritchard at 32 points as well off the bench. Celtics up commanding style, 3-1. Used to beat the Lakers as they handle their business. Amen Thompson minus Kevin Durant, too, by the way. Amen put up 23, Eason at 20. L.A. still in a very comfortable place, up 3-1 in that one. Tonight, Detroit and Orlando. Orlando 2-1 over the number one seed. Pistons in Orlando tonight. OKC trying to sweep out the Suns. They're up 3-0. And as we said, T-Wolves and Nuggets, they get it on tonight, minus Anthony Edwards. And did you see at the end of the game when McDaniel scored the layup? The Joker was in no joking mood, went down there, tried to like powerbomb him through the entirety of the stadium. But hey, scoreboard right now, T-Wolves up, but minus their best player moving forward here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Buffalo, Puffy Pants, Boston 6-1. They lead that series 3-1. Colorado finishes off the Kings 5-1. They sweep that series 4-0. It was Anaheim stunning Edmonton 4-3. Ducks lead that series 3-1. And another thriller, Tampa Bay and the Canadiens. And you got some of this drama.
Chernak gained the line. He works it deep, avoided a heat-seeking oncoming hit from Nick Suzuki. Kucherov back out for Moser toward the net. Score! Hagel, who else? And the Lightning have the lead.
ESPN on the call there. 4-3 was the final score. 3-2, rather. That series now tied at 2, Tampa and Montreal.
Yeah, so the Tampa-Montreal one to me is the most intriguing one because, you know, they both split. They split in Tampa. They split in Montreal. Now they're heading back to Tampa. So that's a hell of a series. Carolina, they won 4 straight. Colorado won 4 straight. Both those series are done. Carolina's got a week off because the playoffs don't start again. The next round doesn't start, I want to say, till the 4th of May, something like that. So tonight we've got Phillies at Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh survived. They were down 3-0. They won 3-2, got empty netter, won 4-2. And then Vegas at Utah tonight. Phillies up 3-1. They can end it tonight in Pittsburgh. Vegas is at Utah. First ever win, playoffs in Utah. So that series is Utah is up 2-1 now. Now Vegas, you know, at Utah again. So we got the Tuesday night, Bob, Boston, Buffalo, like you said, series 3-1. They're back at Buffalo, can end it in Buffalo. Buffalo looks very good right now. Oh, the other series, 2-2, Minnesota, Dallas. That's another, that series is another one that's really good. And Anaheim has got a chance to close out Edmonton at Edmonton, up 3-1.
Yeah, it's the first time Sabres have been in the playoffs in, what, 15 years?
Yeah, and they got a real good, I mean, Bob, they beat, if they beat Boston here up 3-1, they'll play the winner of Montreal-Tampa. And the Pittsburgh-Philly one, they will play Carolina when that starts.
So that's your Stanley Cup playoff update. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vince Rado, Nolan McGraw. This day in Orioles history, today is the 27th of April, 2016. 10 years ago, down at the Trop, Joey Rickert, Nolan, hit a three-run homer. Chris Tillman went 6 2/3 scoreless innings. 9 Ks, picks up the win, his second of the year. Remember, at the end of that season, Chris Tillman hurt his shoulder and never recovered. He was out of the league like 2 years later. But Chris Tillman was dealing on this day 10 years ago at the Trop. 3 years ago in Detroit, Orioles scored 5 in the 7th. Anthony Santander goes deep. Joey Ortiz, remember him? Now in Milwaukee, he drove in 3 runs. Brian Baker gets the win. We'll talk about him in the AL East report, by the way, so stick around for that. Felix Bautista, the Mountain, picked up a 6th save. And then 2 years ago, Royal Park Camden Yards, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Ryan Mountcastle all went deep. Cole Irvin, now toiling in the minors for the Dodgers, he goes 7 strong as he beats his former team. Orioles beat the A's, then the Oakland A's, 7-0. When we come back, well, the Ravens got good grades. Did they beat the competition when it came to the draft stuff? Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner, get his thoughts on what Eric DaCosta did and what still needs to be done, by the way, for the Ravens to really solidify themselves as a Super Bowl contender. And then we'll talk to a quick draw McGraw coming up here. Nolan, stick around for that, too.
If you missed today's Big Bad Morning Show, have segments, hours, or full show delivered daily to your phone. Subscribe to the podcast and listen anytime on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. The Big Bad Morning Show, live on the Fan's YouTube channel, tomorrow 6 till 10, 105.7 The Fan. Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
Defense was not a top priority for the Ravens in this year's draft as they only spent 3 of their 11 selections on that side of the ball. New head coach Jesse Minter didn't go without at least one flashy new toy, though. Second-round outside linebacker Zion Young appears to be an instant impact type of addition after leading the SEC with 18 tackles for a loss this past season. Here's what Minter had to say about that pick.
Rugged, tough, physical player. I think he's just scratching the surface. Love his play style. He plays extremely hard, plays extremely physical. When he strikes blocks, they go the other way. When people pull on him and he strikes them, it's a train wreck.
DaCosta later took Duke cornerback Chandler Rivers with the 162nd overall pick in round 5 and also appeared to get good value by taking defensive tackle Rashawn Benny in round 7. He played under Minter on Michigan's defense in 2022 and 23. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Dubo Law. After an accident, the world stops and you need help. That's when you call Dubo Law at 410-ASK-DUBO for a free consultation. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, mostly sunny with highs approaching 70. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show. 105.7 The Fan.
NFL draft over. 2026, Ravens had 11 picks, 7 on offense, and as usual, got thumbs up, passing grades from all the draft analysts there. I mean, we don't really know how this will turn out for another 2-3 seasons. We'll actually see the guys on the field. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vince Rado, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, talk to him. A few minutes joining us now, talk about the draft from his perspective, from the Baltimore Banner. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Kyle Goon. Kyle, what's up?
How you guys doing?
Doing all right, man. And look, Venga Ioane was a home run, slam dunk, throw cliche out there, pick 14. Everyone's very excited and happy and satisfied with it, I would think. But of the other 10 picks, Kyle, was there any that had you scratching your head or maybe had you wondering exactly what is the process behind this one here?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing that stood out to me is who they didn't pick. They didn't pick a center. And Eric DaCosta said they liked the round two guys, Jake Slaughter and the kid from Iowa. But the not coming away with the center after losing Tyler Linderbaum is kind of head-scratching. I also thought, you know, you have the two receivers that you get. You have Jacoby Lane and Elijah Surratt. Both big body, both kind of, you know, specialists in contested catches, right? The number one and two college receivers in contested catch rate. Do you need both of them in back-to-back rounds? I kind of felt like double-dipping in that style of receiver was a little weird. It feels like they're going to compete for playing time. They're going to compete, you know, for that X receiver spot, jump ball guy. And I thought having two receivers in quick succession of the same mold was a little odd.
Yeah. Now, Kyle, when I look at the tight end, like Hibner and stuff, they haven't replaced Likely yet. They haven't replaced the tight end spot with an explosive guy that can separate and stuff like Likely could, and a big yak guy, which Hibner is not that.
Yeah, he's not, and I think, honestly, what we might see most from Hibner is more the Charlie Kohler role. I mean, he's a really strong guy, one of the leaders in bench press at the NFL Combine, and he has a little bit of extra, you know, passing ability in the tank. So, you know, I think he's more of the Charlie Kohler mold if you're looking at the guys who had the Ravens had last year. I don't know if there is a likely replacement that the Ravens could have got. And you know, they have so many needs that I like them using their first two picks to address the interior offensive line, address edge rusher. I mean, Zion Young, I think, is going to be a good complement to Trey Hendrickson, just with his toughness, his attitude in the run game. And I like those two picks. So after that, was there really a tight end to get? Well, there was a run on tight ends in the second and third round. And I just don't think by the time the clock went back to the Ravens that there was a guy to get that can replace Isaiah Likely.
Yeah, I thought there was probably two, you know, in the draft. Sadiq and Stowers, I thought, were the two that, you know, were offensive threats, you know, as receivers. I thought those were the two guys that could do that. You know, so when they didn't get that, and like you mentioned, center, they didn't get a defensive tackle. So those are all things that still have to be added to the roster yet. Agree?
Yeah, and you know, I wrote about them not coming away with the center. I think in one sense, I think it's smart for Eric DaCosta not to reach. If you really feel like your two centers went off the board, you know, and you don't think, you know, the kid from Kansas State or, you know, the kids from just Indiana, Pat Coogan, I know some people liked. If you don't feel like those guys can actually contribute, then why use it? I mean, you have a mixture of sort of back-end guys already on the roster. And, you know, adding a fourth isn't really going to help you in a significant way. But that being said, I don't think I see a solution right now between Corey Bullock and Pinter and Gwynn. I don't know if I'm comfortable with any of those guys starting. And then some people are now attaching their hope to the Penn State rookie who's joining as a undrafted rookie. I mean, I don't think that's a great answer. And, you know, tight end, I feel a little bit better about because they do have Mark Andrews. I think they can get more out of Mark Andrews at the tight end position. But yeah, I mean, you know, you lose two pretty good tight ends, guys who are good in their roles. And yeah, you have questions when you get a fourth rounder and a fifth rounder who I don't know if either of those guys can be good as Isaiah Likely or Charlie Kohler.
Now, Venga, do you anticipate him? I'm guessing left guard. I mean, it's all that he's played. I would imagine that they're going to use him at left guard. And I told Bob earlier, to me, the ideal situation for the Ravens would be that Emory Jones is the player at the right guard, Venga is the left guard, and Simpson's your rotational guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see Emory Jones win that job, right? I mean, I think you're totally right on Venga. I mean, I don't think there's any he's now. I mean, he's basically now your top guard on the team, right? I mean, I would
better
think
be.
Venga's gonna right.
Yeah.
So he kind of immediately comes in and makes your group better, and so you say, okay, you play where you're most effective, left guard, right? So what I want to see is Emory Jones win the job. John Simpson was here 2 years ago, and he wasn't that bad. And I would like to see Emory Jones kind of step up and become that guy because, you know, that's the point of his young career where he has to step up, prove his talent. You know, he didn't really play that position in college. He played tackle in college. So he's going to show, hey, I'm a winner. I mean, he was coming off an injury last year, but it's a little disappointing that he couldn't find a way to stick on the field last year, given how weak the guard position was. So he's got a lot to prove still.
Now with, I guess, you know, the kicking situation, you know, with Loopster, we still got questions with him, you know, on trying to win a game. And then now with Eckley, you know, he's going to have a new holder again. And Eckley was the best punter, you know, that Randy Brown found out there. So we're going to have a rookie and a second-year guy being the guys. How concerning does that cause you?
I mean, I think it has to be concerning. I mean, it took 3 years for Jordan Stout to become an all-pro level. I mean, I think there were plenty of people who, going into this past season, wouldn't have minded if Jordan Stout walked because he had just not quite been the successor to Sam Cook that the Ravens envisioned. And all of a sudden, in his contract year, he figures it out, and then he leaves. I do have a high degree of confidence in the staff to develop over time, a guy like Ryan Eckley. But over time, right, I mean – your punting, I doubt, is going to be a strength of the special teams. And then I think it's pretty clear that last year the Ravens protected Tyler Loop and did not throw him in certain situations that they could have to give him adversity before he got to Pittsburgh. And, you know, however you want to put it, he did not perform in a win-or-go-home situation. So that's going to be hanging over him all of camp. That's what everyone remembers. That's really the defining play of his career so far. And he's got to overcome that. And he can't be protected anymore because this is the year where he has to make or break his career.
Nick Dawkins, by the way, Kyle's the center you were talking about out of Penn State, one of the many undrafted free agents that the Ravens brought in, including Diego Pavia. He's going to be fun to follow for as long as he might be there. Kyle, what's happening on the Baltimore Banner website today is the Orioles are off and the draft is over.
Yeah, I was going to say I find the Diego Pavia signing really, really interesting, just not in a football way.
Kyle Goode, Baltimore Banner. Kyle, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me on.
You got it, man. And this Diego Pavia, remember, he was a lightning rod for Vanderbilt, told the voters for the Heisman to go bleep themselves because he didn't win. He did apologize, you know. Everybody apologizes when they get caught doing something they're not supposed to do. We'll come back. We're going to talk to our All-American here, Nolan McGraw. We're going to hear more from Eric DaCosta coming up top of the hour. News from the Nest Style. Count some early week money, hopefully by yourself. Sports subjects of the day also. And then John Cooper from Our Lads. Talk about his draft analysis here. Where were the big stunners of the first round as he saw it? And obviously get his thoughts on what the Ravens did.
The teams you grew up with.
Ravens are world champions.
Are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are about to enter an era of football, unfortunately for Steelers fans, that I think will be reminiscent of the 1980s, which was not a good decade for the Steelers. They wanted to draft USC receiver Mekhi Lemon and got jumped by the Philadelphia Eagles. They hired Mike McCarthy, a retread coach, this offseason. They're waiting on 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers to play quarterback. What the hell's happening with the Pittsburgh Steelers? I'm Nick Costos.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrano, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Monday. Orioles off today after dropping two in a row to the Red Sox. Lose the series. Red Sox whacked their manager, Alex Cora, and most of his coaching staff. We'll just take it out on the Orioles, I guess, on a Sunday at Camden Yards. Birds get the Astros, last place team. Coming up tomorrow, start a three-game set. NFL Draft is in the books, and we'll talk more about that. Top of the hour, news from the Nest style. But let's bring in Nolan McGraw in. Quick draw, how you feeling over there?
Feeling all right. Feeling pretty good. Be honest, you know, outside of the first couple picks in the Ravens draft, I'm not over the moon or underwhelmed by much of anything. Still have a lot of learning to do, which we'll all be doing here over the next week or so. But what I do love, besides Venga in round one, which we talked about on Friday, love what they did in round two. Love Zion Young. And not just, you know, the college stats, not just what he brings and kind of the fit for the way that they're revamping that outside linebacker edge rusher group for the Ravens, but more so his comments. I mean, this was just a brief Zoom introduction with the local media on Friday night. And I was following along in the Orioles press box with Ben Hall, and we were just laughing the entire time. This is already an early presser of the year candidate for me. You heard Jason call in earlier, kind of mentioned some of the funny stuff that happened. But of course, the first thing we learn about him, one of the first things, is that he does have the history with Nate Wiggins. They both went to the same high school, Westlake High School in Atlanta, so very familiar with one another. He was hit with a question about that right out the gate. And then an unsuspecting Childs Walker came in a few questions later, tried to drop the same question, didn't know it had already been asked. Zion wasn't having it.
Like I said, man, been knowing Nate since a little kid. You probably missed it. Put both your headphones in, man. We've always been playing. It's been very much so fun. Nate is one of my best buddies. That's my brother.
Oh, not afraid. not afraid to pop off a little bit. He had no shortage of quotes. We're looking up his highlight tape and everything. He's talking trash at the coin toss of some of these games. I think he fits in perfectly here. As far as work ethic, look, every player coming out, they're get all the same stuff. You hear all the cliches this time of year. You know, can't take this guy out of the gym. First one in, last one out, that sort of thing. But when asked about his work ethic, he was reminded of a story that one of his college coaches actually tipped off the media about. But apparently, he didn't get the same memo. This was about him throwing up multiple times in one practice.
That's a unique story, but did I really throw up three times? I don't remember that, throwing up three times. But hey, it is what it is. If I did, I did. But hey, I've always been very competitive. I come from a big family. Like y'all just heard tonight, I come from a family of 11. I'm the youngest. I'm very competitive. I won't let no guy do me. Like I said, whether he the kicker, the punter, quarterback, I can't be out there. I really don't remember throwing up three times. That don't sound Zion-like, but hey, if I did, I did. I don't remember.
Well, whether it happened or not, you heard him joke there as well. He wants to bring the Super Bowl back to Baltimore. Said he'll kick if that's what it takes. He'll punt. He'll do anything. That all sounds good. He's fired up to be here, man. We're happy to have him. But before he left, one last quotable for the road.
Yeah, man, I'm fired up, man. I'm very much so fired. I'm more fired up than y'all seem on this call. I don't know if y'all bored or fired up. I don't know. I'm fired up.
Already a fan favorite here in Baltimore. Welcome, Zion Young.
Yeah, and video will break him down coming up in about an hour. And you mentioned Childs. I feel that pain at a Maryland media day. Lonnie Baxter was still with the Terps. I got to the table late. This was when they were still at Cole Fieldhouse. And I asked him the same question that somebody had already asked him, and he kind of looked at me, and somebody nudged me because we were already asking him that question. All right, answer it again.
Didn't tell you to put those headphones in, though, in person.
Yeah. Are you bored or what over there? Are you fired up? I'm more fired up than you are. No, we think about the Orioles. Are you fired up about them in a negative way? Friday was glorious. The next two, unacceptable performances here.
And even the lefty pitching thing, like you kind of saw, boy, they weren't going to score double digits like they did Friday again. But to be that bad against Garrett Crochet, who had been struggling, you know, that should have been an opportunity to get on this guy. I'm not saying you have to win that game, but at least show a pulse, right? And then after the events that we've much discussed here with Boston, the abrupt firing of everybody, players, I wake up Sunday morning, I'm reading the quotes from Trevor Story and the like saying that we don't agree with this at all. I thought they were going to quit being on the road, all that. I thought they'd just roll over and try to get the hell out of Baltimore. That game was winnable. It was winnable for the Orioles again. They couldn't do it. So lefty pitching, righty pitching doesn't matter right now. This offense is way too hot and cold. And as we get closer and closer here to May, I think the harsh reality is that all right, maybe we don't know what this team is overall in the grand scheme of things, but I think we're getting a little bit closer to having an idea. And unfortunately, that team just looks mediocre.
Yeah, 83 win kind of level team. Because let's be honest here, how much better defensively can they get with the personnel that they have? For real. I mean, unless Elias goes out and swings for the fences, if you will, and gets a stud center fielder in here. I think Bradfield left a game last week in the minors. If everyone else was hitting, and we talked about this on the show, and we talked about it with Jacob Calvin-Meyer early in the hour, if Alonzo's being Alonzo, Gunner's Gunner, and everybody else is doing what they're supposed to do with the bats, you could put Bradfield in center field hitting 220. You know what I mean? You don't want him to be overwhelmed and just totally annihilated confidence-wise. Facing, you know, going through what Kowser's going through right now. But if he can bring one element, it's defense and speed. And if that just that alone makes you a better team as opposed to Beavers struggling out in center field and Taylor Ward, I mean, the wind, I guess, got him spinning all over the place. No, their outfield defense is really bad. And as Jacob said, nerd stats, real stats, eye test stats, all say the Orioles are one of the worst defensive teams in baseball, and we watch it on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
They just find ways to screw things up, and they're not good enough overall to afford to give away runs because they can't pick it up offensively right now.
And that's why the offense is still top of the blame list for me, right? There's a lot of concerns with this team right now. Defense, you could argue, is the biggest. Trevor Rogers starting to look like his old self in the bad way. Brad is still slow out the gate here. But the offense is something that was supposed to be a lot better. And I think that's an easy fix in theory, right? Defense is not easy at all. It's not. I'm with you. Nothing's going to change there. Pitching, I mean, kind of going to be maybe slightly above average. Bullpen maybe is exceeding expectations. They could come back down to earth. But
and they
the offense
just got two key guys back.
The offense has to be the biggest, like, driving force behind their wins, and it just hasn't been.
Too many long droughts offensively for them over the course of a game. I mean, Mayo had the base hit off of Crochet early, and they didn't do jack squat the rest of the game. It's horrible. But they're off today. They sweep the Astros, who just lost two out of three to the Yankees. They could get above 500 going into May, but let's be honest. When's the last time they've done that? They won five out of six like 2.5, 3 weeks ago through Chicago and San Francisco and haven't come close to duplicating that in quite some time. But anyway, we come back, talk more Ravens. Got news from the Nets, Zion being Zion. Did a little third-person reference, which we're cool with. Just hope he can play. Hope he's as good on the field as he is at the mic. So we got more draft stuff coming your way. Bottom of the hour, John Cooper, our lads, get his thoughts on what happened over the weekend in Pittsburgh. And we're going to count some money next hour, too, with Buy or Sell.
What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.